Good afternoon, everyone. And a very happy Sabbath to you. As I look around our young soldiers are out soldiering, doing their work, which we praise God for. After all, that is what our existence is all about. Our raison d'etre, our reason for being, is to live the gospel and to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Let me just thank our gentlemen praise team for, you know, being minute men. Amen? Minute men, you know, and they're able to come up without rehearsal. And they can sing to the honor and glory of God. Music is so important in worship. Because music, what came to my mind was an old advert, these things. I just have to say, get behind me, Satan. But, you know, there are things that music does that preaching will never do. You agree?
Yes.
Never do. Music is so powerful, and that's why I believe God gave it as a gift to us. And so I'm very thankful to those that provide for us music from Sabbath to Sabbath, so vitally important. We're looking at the subject today, I am a soldier. I am a soldier. Let us pray. Once again, Father, this is your hour, and we pray for the power and the Spirit of God to take these words, and Father, only you can cause them to take on a dimension beyond that which comes from the human voice. And so, gracious Father, we pray, position us to hear you. Position us to receive you. Position us to be ready to be soldiers. And once again, Father, I just want to pray because we know that we are dealing with principalities and powers. And so, Father, we depend upon you that you will shut us in with you today, that you will expel, it's only through your power, that you will expel unwanted entities, minions of darkness. Expel them from our presence. That, Father, we can only hear your voice. So we trust you and thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer and pray as Lord. The Bible character of old said, "Speak, Lord, for we your servants are listening." In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jerome, for sharing with us a passage of scripture there from the New International Version. As we As we read 2 Timothy chapter 2, or in fact, as we read the letter to Timothy, we are actually reading the final words of a faithful and dedicated Christian soldier. This Paul, who used to fight physically, underscore that word, as the unconverted Paul, when he was under strong conviction, persecuted the followers of Jesus. But more significantly and more importantly, he is the one who fought the many spiritual battles, underscore that word, as the converted Saul, renamed Paul. When you read the letter to Timothy, it was written from a cold, damp, and dark prison cell in Rome. Paul was soon to face a martyr's death, and he wrote these words found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. We know that verse, yes? I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And so Paul, having developed a soldier's heart over the years, through the twists and the turns of his life, under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit, this soldier of God writes to young Timothy in our passage of scripture that we read, "Thou therefore, my son," I'm reading from the King James Version, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Verse 3. "Thou, therefore, endure" what? "Hardship." In the King James Version, it says, "endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus. No man," verse 4, "that warreth," no man that warreth, "entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." These words of sound counsel and admonition written to Timothy have been recorded for our benefit as we are gathered here today, this Sabbath. Not everyone who signs up to be a soldier in life gets to be one. Many sign up, but few remain, because they didn't have what it took to be a soldier. Now, I'm talking about in the military. Soldiers become soldiers because they learn to endure hardness. That preparation comes through training. They're exposed to extreme situations that will test them to the core. They suffer hunger, live on rations, train in extreme temperatures with heavy loads on their backs, suffer weariness and exhaustion, hard discipline, and strict obedience. In a similar way, not all who sign up to be a soldier in God's army remain. Now, why is that? Is it because God rejects them? No. It is not that God rejects them, but they have rejected him. Because the way is too hard. The discipline is too difficult. The way to life is a narrow and a straight way. Would you agree? The Bible says it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 says, "Enter ye in at what gate?" How do you spell it? S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T? Straight. What does that word mean? What does that word mean? What does the word straight mean? That would be nice. That would be nice. Straight means strict. So, enter ye in at the strict gate. Another word is restricted gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth where? To destruction. And how many go there? Many, the Bible tells us, go in thereat. Because strict is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth where? To life. And how many find it? You see, the principle I'm talking about here that is in the army is similar here. But you know, the Bible says this, Matthew 24 and verse 13. He that endures unto the end. You see what that word there? What's the operative word? Endure. He that endures unto the end, the same will be saved. So keep on. Stay the course. Keep on. Stay the course, and you will be saved. Christ Object Lessons, page 61, we read the following. Conflict rightly met develops steadfastness. Did you hear that? Conflict rightly met develops steadfastness. Through conflict, the spiritual life is strengthened. Trials well borne will develop steadfastness of character and precious spiritual graces. The perfect fruit of faith, meekness, and love often matures best amid storm clouds and darkness. And the servant of God, Ellen White, also wrote the following in Spiritual Gifts. I wish I had this up on the board, on the screen, you could see it. This is taken from Spiritual Gifts, Volume 2, page 219 and paragraph 2. And I read, God has shown me that he gives his people a bitter cup to drink to purify and cleanse them. So what is a bitter cup? The purpose of the bitter cup? To purify and to cleanse. You remember? I don't know how many of you remember the days of Liquid of Life. Anybody? Oh, there are some of you who know. Liquid of Life, that dreaded bottle that my mother would bring out every so often. It is called a washout. And I tell you, in order to make that thing go down or stay down, she would have to give us a sweet. But we never look forward to that bitter cup. But here we are seeing, as Ellen White says, God has shown me that he gives his people a bitter cup to drink, to purify and cleanse them, wash out. They can make it still more bitter by murmuring and complaining and repining. But those who receive it thus must have another draft. You know, when my mom gave me the liquid of life to drink, you know, if for whatever reason my stomach reacted instinctively and I ejected it, she would say, come, fix another dose. So here, they can make it still more bitter by murmuring, complaining, and repining. But those who receive it thus must have another draft. For the first does not have its designed effect upon the heart. And if the second does not effect the work, then they must have another and another until it does have its designed effect, or they will be left impure in heart. And she goes on to say, I saw that this bitter cup can be sweetened by patience, endurance, and prayer, and that it will have its designed effect upon the hearts of those who receive it. And God will be honored and glorified. As of December the 31st, 2022, the Office of Archives, Statistics and Research records that the Seventh-day Adventist Church worldwide is a movement consisting of 22,234,406 members, with 65 unions and 424 local conferences, 327 local missions, having a total of 97,811 churches worldwide and 73,886 companies, not even to speak of church plants. This is indeed a vast army, of enlisted soldiers, of which you and I form a part. In the book Christian Service by Ellen White, page 82, paragraph 2, we read, "The Church of Christ may be fitly compared to an army. The life of every soldier is one of toil, hardship, and danger. On every hand are vigilant foes, led on by the prince of the powers of darkness, who never slumbers and never deserts his post. Whenever a Christian is off his guard, this powerful adversary makes a sudden and violent attack. Unless the members of the church are active and vigilant, they will be overcome by his devices." And in Ministry of Healing, page 148, paragraph 4, we read, "The Church of Christ is organized for service. Its watchword is ministry. Its members are soldiers to be trained for conflict under the captain of their salvation. They should all be taught that this world is not a parade ground, but a battlefield. All are called to endure hardness as good soldiers. They are to be strong and quit themselves like men. Let them be taught that the true test of character is found in the willingness to bear burdens, to take the hard place, to do the work that needs to be done, though it bring no earthly recognition or reward. So every believer in Jesus, every member of the Church of God, is a soldier of Christ according to 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. And it is God's purpose that we be good soldiers. It is God's purpose. When we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and Philemon verse 2, Paul refers to Epaphroditus and Archippus as fellow soldiers in the conflict with the evil one. And when we turn to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, we are told that Jesus, our blessed Lord, is the captain of the army. So we are the soldiers. He is the captain. And every soldier of the cross enlists under the command of our mighty general and is provided with full equipment for both defense and offense. Guess where that is found? In Ephesians chapter 6. There we are told, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This, my brothers and sisters, is everything that you and I will ever require for the battle. It's right there. We are in the midst of a great controversy of all time. A battle, a warfare between Christ and Satan. Good and evil. But the good news is that the battle has already been won. So really and truly, there is no battle. It's done. It's finished. Victory has already been declared. The outcome is already determined. Satan has been defeated. The power and dominion of Satan's kingdom has been broken. So what is it? God is seeking for soldiers here in Watford Town. Yes, you and me. God is seeking for soldiers, laborers, who will arouse from sleep and rally to his cause. You see, as I said, the battle is already won. The contest is over. Jesus has won, hands down. All that he needs are laborers to tell others. Laborers who will endure hardness. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, says the following, and it's a commentary on this passage. A soldier, when he has enlisted, leaves his calling and all the business of it, that he may attain or attend to his captain's orders. If we have given up ourselves to be Christ's soldiers, we must sit loose to this world. How must we sit? Loose. And though there is no remedy, but we must employ ourselves in the affairs of this life while we are here, because we have something to do here, we must not entangle ourselves with those affairs so as by them to be diverted from and drawn aside from our duty to God and the great concerns of Christianity. Now, you see, this is the thing that Satan is busy in having us do. Get bogged down in the affairs of life. So much so to the extent that life has us in its grip, and we have life in our grip. What Matthew Henry is saying is that we need to learn to sit loose to the things of this world and not be diverted and drawn aside from our duty to God. We must sit loose to this world. You know, there's an old chorus that says, "We are soldiers in the army. We've got to fight, but some may have to die. We've got to hold to the blood-stained banner. We've got to hold it up until we die." If you have been born again, you are in the army. The question is, where are you? Where are you? Are you on active duty, serving the Lord faithfully 24/7? Now, I know the fact is that many of us are working people, but I want us to understand that mission comes first, employment comes second. God has given you employment in order that you can take into management the affairs of your life. But your first calling, the reason why God has placed you where he places you, is number one, mission. Mission. It is not to earn money. That's secondary. So where are you? Are you on active duty serving the Lord 24/7? Are you on reserve status? Just waiting, waiting, waiting for something to happen? Are you on guard status? Only serving when you are called upon to serve. Other than that, you're not active? Or are you on AWOL? Are you AWOL? And AWOL stands for what? But in this case, is absent without the Lord. I want to share with you in closing. It's a poem that you probably would have heard of before. I just want to say it because it emphasizes the point of our scripture passage today. So I've made a few adjustments here and there, but in the main, this is a poem. I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith and prayer and the word are the weapons of my warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army when Jesus comes, or I'll die in this army. But by the grace of God, I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. If he needs me to teach children, work with the youth, help the adults, cook the food, give Bible studies, or just sit and learn, he can use me because I am there. I am a soldier. I am not a baby. I don't need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, or picked up. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I'm not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building up his kingdom. I am a soldier. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, foods, cards, sweets, or even give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, or cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. You see, when Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. And if I end up with nothing, I still come out even. I will win. My God will supply all my needs, for I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. I am a soldier. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me, money cannot buy me, and governments cannot silence me, and hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me, for when my commander calls me from this battlefield, I will rest until he wakes me in the morning, and then and only then will I rest from my duty. I am a soldier in the army, and I am marching, claiming victory. I am a soldier marching heaven bound. Here I stand. I can do no other. The words of a hymn that is composed by Isaac Watts says the following: Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Or shall I fear to own your cause or blush to speak your name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace, to help me unto God? Sure I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Here is the appeal. The battle's already won. It's a done deal. All that God is looking for are soldiers, footmen and women, those who will be willing to stand and say, Lord, I am your soldier. And may the words of Paul be the words that apply to my heart, that I will be a good soldier, learning to endure hardness. If that is you, just raise your hand where you are. Yes, Lord, I want to be that soldier. So you know, when you're in the army, it's going to be tough. People will speak against you. Rumors will fly. you will all of a sudden find that your enemies have come out of the woodwork. But don't get discouraged. Are you hearing me? Don't get discouraged. This is not a parade ground. This is a battlefield. And oftentimes within the church, you know, the truth of the matter is that people do not leave because of doctrine per se. But people end up leaving the church because of this one and that one. And what this one or that one said and did. But just remember the poem. We need to look unto the one who is able to help us to endure hardness. You think that it's going to be a walk in the park to be a follower of Jesus? It's not a walk in the park. When you accepted Jesus, you enlisted to become a soldier, you have engaged on the battlefield, and Satan regards you as his enemy. And he is sending his minions to you. So that is why it's so vitally important, my brothers and sisters, that we keep our eyes where? He is the one, as Paul wrote, that will help you to be a good soldier and to endure hardness as a good soldier. God be praised. Let us prepare ourselves in the name of Jesus for warfare. But we are soldiers in the army. We've got to fight. Some may have to die. But we will hold up that bloodstained banner.